Welcome, Curious Minds. Today, we're doing a deep dive into something maybe a bit overlooked, but really important in business finance. We're talking about how big companies report their financials when they own smaller company, you know, subsidiaries.
Right, how it all fits together.
It might sound purely like accounting, but honestly, getting this is key to understanding a company's real financial health, not just the headline numbers.
That's exactly right. Our goal today, looking at the material, is really to unpack how these subsidiaries are handled in what's called a consolidated statement of profit or loss and OCI.
OCI, other comprehensive income.
Yep, other comprehensive income. It's fascinating, actually, seeing how all these different parts of a huge company structure get woven together on paper. It's like building a single narrative.
Okay, so let's get into it. We'll look at the main idea of this consolidated statement and then maybe focus on, what, four key areas?
Yeah, four key financial treatments that really dictate how these statements get put together and why they're so vital for transparency.
Got it. So start us off. The consolidated statement itself, what's the core concept?
Well, at its heart is the consolidated statement of profit or loss. But it's not just, you know, adding up columns of figures.
Right.
It's about presenting the financial results of the parent company and its subsidiaries as if they were just one single economic entity.
Like a family's total income, not just what people pay each other inside the house.
Exactly like that. You want the picture of what the whole group earns from the outside world. And this statement covers not just the standard profit or loss, but also that other comprehensive income, OCI. That captures things like, say, currency fluctuations or changes in investment values that aren't day-to-day profit, but definitely affect the company's overall value.
Okay, that makes sense. But pulling all that together must be incredibly complex. What's like the biggest challenge or maybe the most common pitfall?
Well, often the biggest hurdle is managing what's happening inside the corporate group itself. And that takes us straight into our first key area, intragroup transactions.
Right. Yeah. Dealings between the subsidiaries or with the parent.
Exactly. When they buy and sell from each other or pay dividends internally, those transactions, they have to be eliminated from the consolidated report.
Eliminated. Why is that so critical? Just for tidiness.
Oh, it's much more than tidy books.
Yeah.
It's fundamental. If you didn't eliminate them, a company could look like it's doing masses of business.
I see.
When really it's just shuffling money or goods between its own divisions, it would totally mislead investors about actual market activity.
So it's all about showing what the group actually earns from, like, real customers outside the company wall.
Precisely, the external view.
Okay, so you untangle all those internal deals. What about when a subsidiary actually, you know, leaves the group, gets sold off?
Good question. That brings us neatly to the second area, disposal of a subsidiary.
How do you unplug it cleanly?
There are specific accounting rules for that. For anyone looking at the accounts, what matters is understanding how that sale impacts the main consolidated financial statements.
Mm.
And also, how discontinued operations are reported. Basically, you need to clearly separate the results of the part that's been sold off.
Right.
So you can see the ongoing performance of the business that remains.
Mm.
It provides a clean break, financially speaking.
Okay, makes sense. Clean break. Next, the materials mention goodwill impairment. This sounds a bit abstract.
It can seem abstract, yeah, but it's often a really significant thing for investors to watch.
Why is that? What is goodwill first?
So when company A buys company B, sometimes it pays more than the fair value of B's identifiable assets like buildings, cash, inventory. That extra amount paid, that's goodwill. It represents things like brand reputation, customer lists, future potential.
Stuff you can't quite put a finger on value-wise.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
But the issue is, what if that expected potential doesn't materialize or the brand value drops?
Ah, so the goodwill isn't worth as much anymore.
Exactly. And if value declines, accounting rules say you need impairment recognition. You have to write down its value.
Why is that so crucial?
Well, imagine a company bought a tech startup for a huge premium, banking on future growth. If that growth fizzles out and they don't write down the goodwill, their balance sheet looks stronger than it really is. Their assets appear inflated.
I see. So it's about making sure the asset values are realistic, not overly optimistic.
Absolutely. It's about accuracy and preventing an artificially rosy picture. Regulators watch this closely.
Okay, goodwill impairment noted. Lastly, you mentioned other adjustments. What kind of practical things fall under that?
These are often the real nitty-gritty bits that ensure overall precision. Think about mid-year acquisitions.
Like mention a company in June when your financial year ends in December.
Exactly. how do you smoothly integrate just 6 months of their profit into your full-year report? There are rules for that,
okay,
or fair value adjustments. This means making sure assets and liabilities are listed at their current market value, not just what you originally paid for them, especially when you first consolidate a new subsidiary.
Right, keeping things current.
Yeah. These kinds of adjustments help reconcile differences across the whole group, making sure that final consolidated statement is as accurate and reflective of the current reality as possible.
Wow. Okay, so when you step back, consolidating financial statements is clearly not just adding things up. Not basic maths at all.
Not at all.
It's quite a sophisticated process, isn't it? Understanding who controls what, carefully stripping out all those internal transactions, handling sales of businesses properly, accounting for that tricky goodwill.
Mm-hmm. And making all those other adjustments. It really paints a picture of how interlinked these huge businesses are.
Yeah.
And it shows why we need these detailed accounting rules, primarily for transparency, so investors and others can genuinely assess how a company is doing.
It definitely helps you appreciate the complexity behind those, you know, glossy annual reports you see from major corporations.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot going on beneath the surface.
Indeed. So maybe a final thought for you, the listener, thinking about all this, how might understanding these specific accounting treatments give you deeper insight, maybe into the risks a company is taking or perhaps some hidden strengths in their strategy that aren't obvious just from looking at the profit line?